ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय souls. They are five in number and are called Tamishra, Anda Tamishra, Tamas, Moha, and Maha Moha. Purple. The conditioned souls or living entities who come to the material world to enjoy sense gratification are covered in the beginning by five different conditions. The first condition is a covering of Tamishra or anger. Constitutionally, each and every living entity as minute independence. It is misuse of that minute independence for the conditioned soul to think that he can also enjoy like the Supreme Lord, or to think, why shall I not be a free enjoyer like the Supreme Lord? This forgetfulness of his conditional position is due to anger or envy. The living entity, being eternally a part and parcel servitor of the Supreme Lord, can never, by constitution, be an equal enjoyer with the Lord. When he forgets this, however, and tries to become one with him, his condition is called Tamishra. Even in the field of spiritual realization, this Tamishra mentality of the living entity is hard to overcome. In trying to get out of the entanglement of material life, there are many who want to be one with the Supreme. Even in their transcendental activities, this lower grade mentality of Tamishra continues. Anatta Mishra involves considering death to be the ultimate end. The atheists generally think that the body is the self, and that everything is therefore ended with the end of the body. Thus they want to enjoy material life as far as possible during the existence of the body. Their theory is, as long as you live, you should live prosperously. Never mind whether you commit all kinds of so-called sins. You must eat sumptuously. Beg, borrow and steal. If you think that by stealing and borrowing you are being entangled in sinful activities for which you will have to pay, then just forget that misconception, because after death, everything is finished. No one is responsible for anything he does during his life. This atheistic conception of life is killing human civilization, for it is without knowledge of the continuation of eternal life. This Anatta Mishra ignorance is due to tamas. The condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul is called tamas. This material world is also generally called tamas, because 99% of its living entities are ignorant of their identity as soul. Almost everyone is thinking that he is his body. He has no information of the spirit soul. Guided by this misconception, one always thinks, this is my body and anything in relationship with this body is mine. For such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence. Actually, the conditioned souls in ignorance in this material world are simply guided by sex life, and as soon as they get the opportunity for sex life, they become attached to so-called home, motherland, children, wealth and opulence. As these attachments increase, moha, or the illusion of the bodily concept of life, also increases. Thus the idea that I am this body and everything belonging to this body is mine also increases. And as the whole world is put into moha, sectarian societies, families and nationalities are created, and they fight with one another. Mahamoha means to be mad after material enjoyment. Especially in this age of Kali, everyone is overwhelmed by the madness to accumulate paraphernalia for material enjoyment. These definitions are very nicely given in Vishnu Purana, where it is stated, Tamo viveko moha syad anta karana vibrama maha mahas tuvigyaya gramya bhoga sukhaishana. Maranam yanda tamishram tamishram koda uchite avidya pancha paravaisha pradu bhuta mahatmanaha. There's no translation for that Sanskrit. I looked it up but I could not find anything to tell us what that exactly says. I'll just read the translation again. First of all, Brahma created from his shadow the coverings of ignorance of the conditioned souls. They are five in number and are called Tamishra, Anatta Mishra, Tamas, Moha and Maha Moha. So, this doesn't paint a very pretty picture for the conditioned soul in this material world. As we say, the odds are stacked against him from the start. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse many times on Krishna Bulyaji, Bhogavanshakare Pasate Mayatare Japati Dari. As soon as one desires to enjoy the material world, he is immediately victimized by the material nature. And this is a clear indication here of these five coverings, how the living entity, he comes into this material world, he thinks he's going to be able to enjoy and become detached, but he immediately becomes captivated by Maya. So Maya has two potencies. One is a covering over potency, while the other one is holding him down. So it's a very difficult position in the material world. Krishna has set it up as a playground for us where we can come and try and be independent of him and try and be an enjoyer. But of course he has to accompany us through that whole subject. He is seated in the heart of the jiva, and it's by his organisation that jiva moves from one body to another. in his pursuit of enjoyment. But the fact is, the living entity, he cannot enjoy separate from Krishna. Of course, Krishna creates an illusion of that so-called enjoyment. And various sojourns throughout the material world, this can go on almost endlessly. Of course, this material world is meant to be a house of reform. It's meant to bring you to the right point, realising that there's nothing else but surrender to Krishna will make me happy and contented and give me what I'm created for, which is a loving relationship with Krishna. So we've given up that loving relationship and we've settled for something which is much, it's not even second best, it's way down the ladder. But looking at these five conditions of material life, we can see that it's going to be a very hard task to overcome them. And even Prabhupada mentions it here, he's indicating that even on the transitional path, it becomes a challenge. And Prabhupada also said that it's like a type of declaration of war against Maya. And Maya will be there at every moment to test us. Do we really want Krishna? Or do we want to settle for something, you know, something second best? We have the example of Dhruva Maharaj. His realization was that he was seeking for some cut glass, wasn't it? And then he found the most valuable diamond, the most valuable thing. So the most valuable thing which we are all searching for is Krishna consciousness. We try to get it from material activities. And we try and we try and we try. But we're not meant, or it's impossible for us to enjoy matter, ultimately. We cannot enjoy matter. Of course, it's all Krishna's energy. But as we said before, this world is set up in such a way you'll always be shortchanged. It will always escape you. Every time you try and enjoy a grass pole or something for your enjoyment, somehow or other it slips through your fingers and you're left with that dissatisfaction. There's a song by one of our devotees, Mahu. Sorry, I forget his name. But he talks about when we reach in for the kiss with Maya, we simply fall into emptiness. She's inviting him to come and sit in her lap and enjoy nicely. When we go there, there's nothing there. Right, so we're tricked by Maya in this way, that if we pursue certain avenues of sense gratification, we will get that nectar. But that nectar never comes. It always escapes us. But the process of Krishna consciousness allows us to have satisfaction to senses, to have loving relationships. And ultimately, it brings us closer to the real object of our love, which is Krishna. Of course, in the material world, we abandon that love and surrender to lust. And it's that lust which harasses us. Yeah, Krishna states in the Gita that all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. And Krishna asks Arjuna, he says, why is it that one is impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, engaged by force? So we're harassed by these material desires we don't want to surrender to them, but we are forced to. And Krishna says it is lust and lust only, Arjuna, which is born of the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring of the enemy of this world. So Krishna commonly gives us the instructions and the process by which we become free of all those things which are harassing us. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, the second chapter is mentioned. Simvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravan Kirtana Vidanta Storya Bhadvani Vidyanoti Suritsatam. that Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, is the Paramatma within everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has relished his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. So the process for coming to the normal condition of life is hearing about this thing more, chanting his holy name. It's a simple process, as Srila Prabhupada said, but it must be taken very seriously. And by following the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, automatically we should develop an attachment to Krishna. There's also those verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Nama Kirtan, Bhagavad Shravan, Mithuravan Sri Mukhi, Svayana Sivan. Sakala Sadhana Shrestha, E Pancha Anga, Krishna Prem Janmaya, E Pancha Apasanga. It's mentioned that these five limbs of devotional service. Associating devotees, chanting the holy name, living in the holy place, hearing about the Supreme Lord, and serving the devotion. And Lord Chaitanya states that these five limbs are the best of all. And even a slight defaultance of these, one of these five, one can attain or awaken our dormant love for God. So it's a very potent process. It almost seems like sometimes the the material energy is just insurmountable. And Krishna confirms that his divine unity is difficult to overcome. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya varatlaya mam evye patyante mayam etam tanantite. But the scriptures constantly remind us, and Krishna is constantly telling us, if you just do this process, just hear about me, worship me, there is no problem. You can overcome all of this. In the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Machchita Savadurgami, Matpasava Tuishasi. Atate Tham Hankaram, Nishoshasi, Ganakshasi.
Nosrasyasi.
If you become conscious of me, he says, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if, however, you act through false ego, not hearing me, then you will be lost. And actually, the scriptures are there. There are so many statements by the sages, by Krishna himself, throughout Gita and Bhagavatam, to will us on, to encourage us, like a coach from the sidelines. You see the coach when he's coaching his team and he's constantly prodding, yes, you can do it. Just follow what I've told you to do. Follow that process and you'll get over the line, guaranteed. And Krishna's telling us in the end, just think of me, become conscious of me, and there'll be no problem. Because ultimately, Krishna says, the material nature, Maya Dakshina Pakriti Suyate Sacharachana Hitanani Naguntaya Jagatvivaripadati. It's working under his direction. Material nature is working under Krishna's direction. So if it's under Krishna's control, Krishna can make it cooperate for your benefit. I remember once hearing from one of our senior devotees about how he harassed by Maya, and he gave the example. It's like I don't know if you've ever been on. We used to go on door to door sales at Sankirtan, and sometimes you'd come across someone's dog, a big dog. I remember one time was at one house. We were supposed to knock on every door, no matter what, and if you didn't get an answer at the front, you go around the back. You got someone to come out. But sometimes I'm foolish. Anyway, one night it was night time, so I knocked on this door and I could hear all the people inside, and a lot of nerves on the floor. There was a lot of people there. I've got to desist, so I thought, oh, I'll go around the back. So I went around the back through this gate, and as I was knocking on the back door, I got bailed up by this big dock. And immediately, of course, it became very fearful. And so the dock had me bailed up. I was thinking my only hope now is if the owners come out. So the dog was barking, so the owners came out. And the owners just dismissed the dog immediately. The dog ran away. So Myra's a bit like that. She's got us bailed up. And it almost seems like it's impossible to escape. But one word from Krishna, and she'll leave us alone. But it's her job there. She's there to test us. Someone's got to do that job, unpleasant as it is. It's her job to test us. And as I said before, this material world, it's a prison house, a place of reform. So Krishna's trying, through all this experience we're having, he's trying to bring us to the correct position, which is again surrender to him without any other desire, to surrender to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, through the process which he has given us, has made this very easy for us. An easy process, as we see, that it must be taken seriously if we want the desired results. I just wanted to touch again on some of these five coverings, as mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in this verse in purport. So the first one he talks about is tamisha, which is anger. Why I cannot enjoy like the Lord. It's funny how we've given up that loving relationship and then given over to this chasing the material with so many different things. And as I explained, it's impossible for us to enjoy the material energy. So we have to give up the rebellious nature. And ask for Krishna's help. Just got to pray to Krishna to help you. Pray to your spiritual master to help you. And they're ready at every moment just to guide you and help you. I mean, once Tamal Krishna told us about this story, how he was struggling so much for so many different services. And he came to Srila Prabhupada and he was crying. And Srila Prabhupada was laughing. But Srila Prabhupada was appreciating how he was struggling so hard to do his service, not despite everything. So, isn't it when anyone is a parent, when you have a child, you see them struggling, you appreciate the endeavour that they're making to try and do things, and you encourage them. So that anger of not being able to enjoy one as like the Lord, as I explained before, we cannot get satisfaction from those things in the material world. This is separated from Krishna. When we were young, there was a song on the radio about satisfaction. It was called satisfaction. It was about not getting satisfaction. As much as we try and we try and we try and we try, we cannot get satisfaction. So that satisfaction we're chasing, it comes automatically when we are once again situated in our constitutional position. So the next quality under tamisha, Prabhupada talks about, is seeing that death is the ultimate end to everything in this world. Now this is a very common view of the world these days. The world has become more and more atheistic. Lack of deep spirituality in society. The moral fibre of society is breaking down. The world is full of problems due to this moral breakdown. And for the materialists, to enjoy the senses is the ultimate goal of life, and to amass material wealth and comforts and all those things. And they see nothing more than this. Prabhupada often would quote or cite the his interaction with Professor Kotovsky in Moscow. So he said, this man is a big professor. He's saying, Swamiji, when this body is over, everything is finished. But we have to enlighten the population. This is not the reality. You do have a future. And it's important what we do in this life to create a good future for ourselves. Of course, it's not popular these days when you mention the word sin. It's very, people don't like to hear that. They say this is all nonsense. Some fellow is up there watching everything you do and you're punished for doing the wrong things. But the material world is set up like that, of action and reaction. And without an understanding of karma, it's very difficult to make any sense of the world. But understanding the principles of karma becomes very clear. It's very clear how things are happening the way they are. Why people are born in a particular family, country, with particular conditions of life, particular wealth, beauty, knowledge, etc. It's all due to their past karma. Of course, for the devotee, he's creating a better future for himself. So, the materialists, as I said, they don't see anything beyond this life. They say that life arises from chemicals. There's no other cause other than lust. And this is one of the pillars of modern science, actually, is that life is coming from chemicals. One of their pillars. And so they've built a huge stack of cards on this pillar that life is coming from chemicals. Now Prabhupada highlighted this. He said, they say it happened in the past that life arose from chemicals. So life is a combination of chemical reaction. And they say, this is the origin of everything that we see, or life. But Prabhupada says they cannot demonstrate it now. They say it happened in the past. They cannot demonstrate it now. And they say it will happen in the future. Right? And Prabhupada said this is wholesale nonsense. But the whole world has swallowed it. Everyone swallowed it. Now Prabhupada said simply, life comes from life. And we can demonstrate that at every moment. You look at this whole world, you see it happening second by second. You see life coming from life. You don't see life coming from chemicals. Prabhupada says, if you have to be, science means you observe and you have to show or confirm your theory. So you say life comes from chemicals, and despite all your show, your big phantasmagoria, you cannot produce one skerrick of life. Right? This is why it's wholesale nonsense. It's terrible, actually, that this prevailing philosophy all over the world, and everyone's side of it, They cannot demonstrate in even the minutest degree that life comes from chemicals. Conversely, chemicals come from life. We can demonstrate that. We can demonstrate that life comes from life, and chemicals also come from life. Prabhupada gave this simple example of the lemon tree. Throughout its life, it produces how many kilos of citric acid? Hundreds of kilos of citric acid. And then he gave the example even from this body. Someone has done something with the urine and extracted this chemical called urea. Right? So even this body is producing, of course it's producing sweat and that is salty by nature. So we can demonstrate in so many ways how life is producing chemicals. We can show how life is producing life. But they cannot even create a microbe. Cannot create the tiniest thing. And we should not. It's impossible. And Krishna also confirms that Jivanam Sarvabhuteshu, he's the life of all that lives. He's the life of all that lives. All life is ultimately coming from Krishna. Of course, it's also coming through Brahma, his representative. He creates this universe and all the living entities. But ultimately, all that life, of course, is coming from Krishna. We're created by Krishna. And so we have to be firm in our conviction about this particular part of our philosophy. And it's amazing how they're getting away with that, isn't it? It's shocking. So they'll never create life. It's impossible. It's an absolute impossibility. Right, now the next one. It's tamas. So they have no knowledge of the soul. But it's quite elementary. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, read Krishna's words, it becomes elementary how the soul is moving the body. I don't think even science has a satisfactory explanation of what is consciousness. Yeah? It cannot explain consciousness. So consciousness is a symptom of the soul, of every part of your skin. You can be consciousness and play, you know, it pervades the entire body. So this is the first thing in spiritual life. That's where Krishna starts, isn't it, in the Gita. He explains very slowly and clearly what is spirit. Because unless you understand spirit, how are you going to understand the rest of it? And so Srila Prabhupada said, the science of Krishna consciousness is the greatest science. No, it's the greatest science. The greatest science of the soul. Science of what this material world is, what it's meant for. The science of the spiritual world. The science of our relationship with Krishna. It's all clearly explained in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's the greatest science. Even to understand material science, you have to apply yourself. You have to study deeply. Yeah? Some of the science that I hear and read about is just so difficult to understand. Whether it's quantum physics, it's quite challenging for the head. And they think, materialists generally think that spiritual life, or spiritual matter, is an easy subject. But it's not, it's a difficult subject. It requires a fine brain, and it requires a lifetime of learning to try and understand spirit. None of us can see spirit. Who can see spirit? Can we see spirit? It's very difficult for us to see spirit. We just see the externals. As Prabhupada said, that it's the father that will see the soul of the son. No, it's the son see the soul of the father. It's very difficult. We just see the externals. So it requires purification of heart, and it requires deep study. That's why there is so much shastra, to try and convince us, and we take a lot of convincing. But everything is covered there, because we're all full of questions, so many questions. That's very carefully explained by Krishna. All the great souls who have left all this knowledge for us. And going back to that previous also commenting about the how they don't see anything beyond this life, but they're the materialists, of course, is very busy at trying to extend their life and extend his enjoyment in this world. Maharaja said the most wonderful thing is that everyone is dying, but no one thinks they're going to die. Even us as devotees, we don't think today is going to be the last day, do we? We're always planning for tomorrow and the next week and 6 months down the track and so forth. Because the soul is eternal. He can't imagine not being. He always has a future. But unfortunately, this body doesn't have a future. Doesn't. We were talking yesterday, we were saying that population of the planet now is something like 7 billion people. Not to speak of all the animals. How many are there? But within 100 years, all of those 7 billion bodies, they're all going to be gone. Not to speak of how many billion animals there are on the planet. So they're all going to be gone. And they're going to be replaced by so many billion more. They're all going to disappear. We're also all going to disappear. Prabhupada makes one comment. He says that Maharaj Parikshit had 7 days' notice. And he says, I have no such notice. Therefore, I will live for 7 millions of years. I have no such notice, so therefore I'll live for 7 millions of years. But and even Srila Prabhupada, in his last days, and he's surrounded by the devotees on his, on his final resting place, he said very gravely, don't think this won't happen to you. As older devotees now, our hair is grey and it's confirmed that we're becoming old. And we see, it becomes a little bit more clear to us that this body is going to come to an end. We don't know if it's going to be today, tomorrow, or next year, or a few years' time. But it's a daunting prospect, actually. We can be concerned, because generally we're always putting off that surrender, absolute sort of surrender to Krishna. This is our sorry plight, isn't it? It's like we are surrendering to a certain degree. We're following the process, we're doing the service, and we're being pushed by others, we push ourselves also. But are we coming to that point of today saying, Krishna, I am yours, I'm absolutely surrendered, I have no other desire, here I am? But I don't know whether we're actually at that point. Isn't it? We always tend to put it off because I've got all these other things. Which we're doing these seminars about leadership and other things in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna should be the focus or the circle of our very life. Right? But instead of making those other things supportive of that main goal, sometimes Krishna is just one of those extras on the edge, right? So we feel that we have obligations to many other things, but ultimately our obligation is to become Krishna conscious. This is the sole purpose of our existence, to become Krishna conscious. As we stated before, Krishna says, you become conscious of me, you will overcome all the obstacles of conditioned life on your face. So we have chosen to forget Krishna by coming to this world, and our life will become perfect when we always remember Krishna and never forget him. And Krishna also confirms in Bhagavad Gita that one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Alright, so we'll stop there and ask if there's any questions or comments. Any objections? One's a shirt, I guess, and one's a coat, isn't it?
There's also a hell called Andhra-Dhamishra.
Yeah. No. Actually, sometimes we think of hell as a terrible place, but actually, this planet we're living on at the moment is quite harsh. The way that people are dying on this planet is shocking. Sometimes you see some of the things that. And sometimes people hear, you know, descriptions of hell and what's going on there, but it's happening right here. Right? You go to Syria right now and put yourself underneath one of those bombs that are dropping from the sky. Well, that's hell. And people are dying in all sorts of very terrible ways. Even some diseases are hellish. It's not natural for the soul to die. It's very unpleasant. Birth and death. Because we have no memory of our current birth. Does anyone remember being born? It's a special quality that we cannot remember some of these things that have taken away our memory of them. If you could remember what it's like to be in the womb, and to be born, to be pushed out of that womb, you probably wouldn't want to do it again. But that knowledge has taken away from us, as Krishna says, from knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So the only way you can enjoy the material world is you have to be forgetful of Krishna. Moha is the illusion of the bodily concept of life, and it increases as we expand our attachments. And then we become attached to this body, and then all those things associated with the body, they create further attachments. And Mahamoha is the madness that ensues from that illusion. Right? We want to accumulate more and more. So that we develop attachment to the body, this body, and the Prabhupada says, what is that other verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Daya Pachakala Shwari Shivatma Sanyasa, such a good. Person is devoid of atma-tattva due to inquiring into the problems of life, becoming attached to the fellow and soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, right, we all have sufficient experience in the material world, all the trials and tribulations, we do not see our inevitable destruction. So due to that maha, and maha-moha, we increase all these attachments. Of course, for us as devotees, let's face it, we're conditioned souls, so we do need certain things, isn't it? And as was explained before, for most devotees, to be married, for instance, is the natural condition. Right? But when you get married, you're going to become attached to the husband, and the wife becomes attached to the husband, and vice versa. And then there are children, you get attached to them. Because you've got to be attached to them. Otherwise, how are you going to raise them? Because they're troublesome. Can you spend all that trouble out of love? Huh? You just look at the mothers, they dedicate their lives just to the children, they dedicate their whole life to the children. A good mother, anyway. She has no other thoughts than looking after the children. It creates deep attachments, and there's all that paraphernalia that goes along with that. But the wonderful thing about bhakti yoga is if you follow the process side by side with all these obligations and attachments, you can still make progress in spiritual life. So that's the wonderful quality of bhakti yoga. That you can, of course, you can't be, don't be attached to those things deeply. You still got to have your main attachment should be to Krishna. Right? I think we've given the example of how the paramour. So what's the example of the paramour? Anyway, we're also going to have to a certain degree those attachments, but. By the process of Krishna consciousness, we can gradually give them up.
What is the difference between attachment and affection?
Well, they're both the same, aren't they? They should go hand in hand. Ultimately, we should have attachment to Krishna and affection for Krishna. Right? That we tend to. And anything. Of course, if a devotee is Krishna conscious, then everything, his whole life, can make that connection to Krishna. And then all those relationships and attachments, they become real. It's impossible to become completely detached. Our position is to somehow dovetail everything, isn't it, to Krishna. And it doesn't make any difference. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of looking after Krishna's property and his temple and so forth. He said sarcastically, "Oh, I'm Vaishnava. I'm Vaishnava. I don't care for all this." Right? But Prabhupada was very strong that we should maintain everything very nicely. Everything should be wonderful. Should be kept very nicely. We should have a deep attachment for Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's devotees, and not be callous and aloof. That's not Vaishnava culture. As the Prabhupada said, I'll let everything be spoiled. Why are you attached to these things? Oh, just let it all go. But no, that's not right. Well, you could. You've got to maintain his body, you've got to maintain his properties. I've heard it said that Prabhupada said, Iskon is my body, so everything in relation to Prabhupada should be maintained, mostly. Everything. You know, at least in Melbourne, in Iskon Melbourne, for the front gate to the back gate, we should be trying to look after it nicely. You know, everyone can take personal responsibility. That's your attachment. That's your affection, your show of affection for Prabhupada to help. He said, if you want to please him, help me spread this movement. Or on the other thing, he said, if you want to please me, help me distribute these books. So that's how we show our affection, our attachment to Srila Prabhupada, by helping to maintain those things and helping to expand those things. Prabhupada said, if you cannot increase, at least maintain. So Aniruddha, Rasanandin, we've been hanging around here for 40 years or more. We remember this temple when Srila Prabhupada came. Now some parts of it are much the same, but some parts of it need a bit of work. So we should be trying to maintain it at least to what it was when Srila Prabhupada was here, and trying to improve it. So that's the legacy which we have.